Well, yesterday's internet outage in our area meant that we were driven to the television, where we spent all afternoon watching an event unfold on live TV. Dr. Cindy Ruschle is the head of UMD's Political Science Department, and she joins us this morning to offer some insight and unpack this event a little bit more. Cindy, one of the first things I realized this morning as I was looking over my notes is I'm not quite sure what to call it. A protest? A riot? Is there a nice balanced, neutral kind of term for what happened yesterday, or is neutral not what we need to be looking for?
I don't believe it was a neutral event. It was an attempted insurrection, an attempted coup. It was horrible. So, no, I don't think there is a neutral term for it, nor do I think there should be.
I guess the first thing that I did want to ask is what you basically just answered. What happened yesterday? And what were the people who were there trying to accomplish? Can you kind of unpack it a little bit for people?
What they're trying to accomplish is somewhat of a mystery. As we know, yesterday was the day of what should have been just a routine event where they basically certify the election, say that Joe Biden was elected president. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter how long it took, Biden won the election. Joe Biden won the election fair and square, and he was going to be certified as president. Yesterday, they stormed the Capitol. I guess their goal was somehow thinking that they could undo that. Who understands the minds of people that would do that? I most certainly do not. But again, it's the most undemocratic thing that's happened in our country in quite some time. In my memory. You think about it. There were people marching a Confederate flag through the U.S. Capitol. It was terrible. People died. But again, what were they trying to do? They were obviously trying to use force to undo the results of a fair, free election.
I heard a Republican lawmaker interviewed. I apologize that I don't have the gentleman's name, but I did hear a Republican lawmaker, of course, expressing horror and dismay at what was going on. But he was trying to make the case that the peaceful protesters were overwhelmed by people that had come deliberately to make trouble, and that those people were the ones causing the problem, and they had nothing to do with, nor were they, Trump supporters, because I believe he said that Trump supporters don't act like that.
That's not true. It was Trump supporters. No, not all Trump supporters act like that, but what happened on the Capitol yesterday was Trump supporters, and it had been gemmed up, and people had been bragging about it on social media for weeks.
The police response seemed slow, seemed like it took quite a while. I felt like I had been watching for quite a while before police arrived on the scene. And a lot of people were commenting, including some of the newscasters, that violence or trouble had been predicted, had been talked about on social media for a long time, and no one could really understand why. It seemed as though no one was prepared for this. Do you have any insight into what might have happened with what seemed like a delayed police response?
No, I don't. The Capitol buildings, needless to say, they're not under Washington, D.C. They are under federal law enforcement. And so it would have been federal forces that dealt with it, Capitol Police, perhaps FBI and Secret Service, and it required them calling out the National Guard. And at the end of the day, it wasn't President Trump who called out the Guard. It was Vice President Pence in consultation with the Speaker and with other people within the Cabinet. And so, no, I don't know. There's any number of things, and I don't want to do backseat driving on it. I don't know, but I think that there's going to be plenty of examinations into what happened and, you know, if something needs to change, if, you know, what caused the fact that it was so easy to breach the U.S. Capitol.
There were a lot of people, a lot of comparisons on social media and actually some pushback against it. Actually, one of my relatives who is very active in trying to educate people about the concerns and the issues of people of color was saying, no, 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 do not conflate Black Lives Matter with what's going on here. This is they are not the same thing. Don't even try to put them together. But there were still a lot of comparisons being made on social media by people observing that if the protesters slash rioters had been people of color, the police response and the upshot of the entire event would have unfolded much differently. What's your sense of that?
Well, I mean, you can't say with any certainty yes or no that would have happened or it would have happened differently. But I think recent incidents kind of indicate that, you know, that they had been treated differently in recent incidents. I mean, you saw instances where there had been BLM peaceful marches through Washington and the guard was on full alert on the Capitol steps. And so, I mean, you can't say, oh, yeah, had this been, you know, BLM, it would have been different. But I think that you can look at recent events and look at history and events that had happened in D.C. and say, yeah, you know, it certainly was different when things like this had happened in previous groups, with different groups of people.
It seemed to take quite a while for President Trump to respond to what sounded like increasing calls from definitely from news media. Nobody knows, I don't think at this point, completely what the lawmakers at the Capitol were saying. But he did release a tweeted video statement. What was your reaction to that statement?
His statement was inadequate. I mean, what his statement pretty much said was the election was rigged. I was treated unfairly. I love you. Go home. I mean, it was not in any way what you would expect from a leader, from somebody, the president of the United States. Let's just call it what it is. It wasn't anything like, this is not who we are. This is not what we do. Stop this. Earlier, he'd actually spoken to this crowd. I mean, he'd tweeted over weeks, you know, come to the big event. Guys like Louis Gohmert of Texas 2 weeks ago had actually issued a tweet that could be interpreted very easily as a call to this kind of violence. Rudy Giuliani, you know, had spoken to that group hours before they went to the Capitol and said, let's call for combat. And it's, you know, you can't ignore some of these recent events. And I want to talk a little bit about Minnesota. And, you know, there is a man who wants to be governor of this state. His name is, and please correct my pronunciation because I am fully convinced it will be wrong, Mike Lindell. Is that how you pronounce it? Mr. Pillow?
Oh, Lindell, I think, yes. I think, well, and of course, we all, I think, recognize the name from his television commercials about his pillows, yes.
He wants to be governor of this state, and he has received the support of the President of the United States. He has received the vocal support of some leaders in the Republican Party. Since the election, he has supported a tweet that said that there should be martial law declared in Minnesota because of the election outcome. He has supported and financed a lot of things happening with this effort to overturn our election. And, I mean, this is Minnesota. This man wants to be governor of our state. Had he been governor of our state, would he have overturned our election because he didn't agree with it? And, I mean, you don't hear anything. The Republicans should be speaking out on this, saying, no, this is not what we want for the leader of our state. This is not the kind of government we want. And so, I mean, I've said this, and I'll say it over and over and over again, because it is the basic fundamental truth. We have elections in this country. That means people lose elections. Donald Trump ran election. He ran twice. He had the high honor of serving as president of the United States, but he lost the election. If we get into a position where we are now, where the only people, the only person who can be the winner, whose election is legitimate, is the person you voted for or the person that represents your political party, then that is not a democracy. And we just need to own up to that fact. And we, and you know, I mean, that's it. End of statement.
Representative Stauber did vote with a coalition of other lawmakers, I believe. Was it to take a second look at the election results?
This is the first time. What he did is he signed on to an amicus curiae brief out of Texas, out of Ken Paxton. I'm from Texas. I'm so embarrassed. But anyway, he signed on to an amicus. He signed an amicus curiae brief by other members. I think it was 126 Republican members of Congress, of the House of Representatives, which basically sought to overturn election results in the state of Pennsylvania. That's what he did. Yesterday in the vote, he and Representative Emmer both voted to oppose the efforts to not certify votes in two states, Arizona and Pennsylvania. And so that's what that is. And I mean, so previously he did do that. And there was it was one of those strange things that, you know, interpret the way, I guess everybody's got their own interpretation of it. When the list first came out of Republicans who had signed on to that amicus curiae brief, Representative Stauber's name was not on it. The next day he issued a statement and said that was a clerical error, and he wanted to be on it. But again, there was a great deal of backlash from people who basically said, you know, this is not a democratic action. You know, there's, you know, what's somebody doing to overthrow the votes in another state? All this had gone to court. The courts had ruled against it. And so, you know, that's what that was. But yesterday in the vote, Representative Stauber did vote to uphold the certification of Joe Biden being president, to oppose efforts to overturn that. And he has said that Joe Biden won the election.
There are a lot of calls for impeachment, anything from censure to impeachment. What would that accomplish with such a short time left in the president's term?
I think in light of some of the things that's happened the last couple of days, even, I mean, do you realize it was, what, 48 hours ago that a phone call was revealed where the president of the United States tried to force the Secretary of State to find election vote, to find votes for him so that he could win the election. You know, what he did yesterday, I think there's a lot of concern that, you know, the president is not making sound decisions, and that, you know, what will he do in the next 2 weeks? That, you know, what will happen in the next 2 weeks with somebody that's not making good decisions? And so that's where the talk of the 25th Amendment comes in. I mean, the 25th Amendment, it has different provisions. It's basically the succession. But it also has in there that if the cabinet and the vice president believe that a president is not able to carry out the functions of the office, the cabinet and the vice president can take steps to start, you know, removing him either temporarily or forever from the office. And so there's talk about, you know, should the 25th Amendment be invoked? There's also people, a small group, it's not a large group yet, that have said that he should be impeached, that he should be removed from office. And again, it goes into these concerns after yesterday about, you know, the way he's behaving and the quality of his decision making.
One of the things that I kept thinking as I watched the events unfolding yesterday, and again, without the ability to be on the internet and distract ourselves in many cases with something else, we had to sit and watch, and I found myself frustrated because my dogs, they did not want to talk about this with me yesterday. They did not want to engage with me. They did not want to help me process it. And my cell phone was wackadoo, so I couldn't even call my mom and process it with her. I just kept thinking of all of the norms that have been broken in the last 4 years that will, in theory, make it easier for someone else to say, well, you know, so-and-so already did it, so-and-so did it and got away, whatever. My question, yeah, I guess, for you was, what did we lose yesterday? And were there doors to behaviors or thoughts or ways of being that had been locked that are now unlocked or standing open?
You know, when you're talking about norms, I mean, they play such a key and vital role in our democracy. I mean, there's a book, and I would encourage everyone just to read it, maybe do some research now. Maybe we've gotten a little bit of out of touch with who we are. I mean, there's a book that I read recently, How Democracy Dies. Democracy, it's fragile. I mean, we take it for granted. I mean, I was one of them, and I study this thing saying, oh, there's no way that he can run our democracy. There's too many guardrails. But so many of those guardrails have been brought down. And one of the things that, if we ever get more time, we can go more into the fact that, you know, he was the greatest abuser of it. There is no both-sidism in this. But there have been, there's been weaknesses that we've just stood up before, to them before. But anyway, you know, so much of our government does rely on these norms and on the fact that, on the integrity of individual office holders and on us as voters and citizens to take our role in a democracy seriously. And, you know, a lot of these norms were broken down. And what we do going forward, you know, depends upon us and depends upon, you know, our elected officials. It could be a time of change, of good change, where we say, well, maybe this has gone too far. People say it's polarization. We're just badly polarized. We're badly divided. But what we saw yesterday and what the reaction has been to this election, that's not polarization. That we don't have a polarization problem. We have a democracy problem. And that is something that all of us need to take responsibility for correcting. And so the Sermon on the Mount, I guess, I don't know. But again, that's what's going on. You know, I tend to be a glass, you have to be at times like this, a glass half full person that, you know, the remarks like that Mitch McConnell gave yesterday, they were good remarks, and they pretty much said enough of this. And, you know, the same thing from Chuck Schumer and from the vice president, from a lot of people were saying, you know, whoa. And so hopefully this is a time for all of us to kind of reevaluate our own points of view. You know, in 2000 there was moves to say, and they were rejected. I mean, people saying, you know, there was a senator tried to overturn the votes of Florida because they were contested, and Congress said no. I mean, there are, throughout the recent decades, probably it happened with George W. Bush because he didn't win he won fair and square. He won the Electoral College. He lost the popular vote. The way we do our elections, that's a legitimate election. There were questions about Barack Obama. Was he an American citizen? Yes, he was. But again, was he a legitimate leader? There were questions about whether or not Russia interfere with the election, but there's no evidence whatsoever they changed votes. But again, I mean, when we start every presidential administration, and we're starting this one saying, this is not a legitimately elected president, then we're doing harm. I mean, they won the elections by the rules of the game. There is absolutely no evidence of cheating that somehow or another. And I mean, if you think about these theories, they're just far-fetched. I mean, they're not even possible. And so, again, you know, when we started, you in your own private mind can say, I'm not going to deal with that. I don't like this guy. But I mean, when we question the very basic legitimacy of our election, then, you know, we're lost.
Cindy, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for having me. And, you know, I really hope that we use this as an opportunity to get better. And the way that we do this is for, in my opinion, a good starting point was for each individual political party to call out their bad actors.
We will wait and see what happens. And in the meantime, I will also get a link up to the book that you mentioned in case folks want to take your recommendation and do a little bit of additional reading. There may be a lot of questions that people have after watching the events of yesterday unfolding all afternoon. Cindy, thanks again for joining us.
You bet. Take care.
Dr. Cindy Ruschley is the department head of UMD's Political Science Department, and she joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.